Facebook channel, or it's on YouTube. Is that right, Alex? Is it on the YouTube channel as well? Really good word. He talked about, you know, Christianity is not a system. It's about knowing a person. And if we know a person, see, systems will fail us, my beloved. God will not. Amen. So I want to skip down my notes a little bit. I got a lot of notes. I'm going to pick up here, though, kind of right where I left off two Sundays ago. I had a lot of review here, but just want to touch on this really quickly. John chapter 1, verse 14, Alex, can you get us there? John 1, 14. And I'm going to be, by God's grace here, everybody, we're going to talk a little bit today about specifically why I'm calling this series The Surgeon and the Scalpel. But let's look at John 1, 14 here. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We saw His glory. Everybody say glory. Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of what, church? Grace and truth. Truth. Grace and truth. Lord, we ask that You'd open our hearts and our minds to Your word these next few moments, Lord God. Father, Your word is here to change us by the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Give us ears to hear, God, what You're saying to us this morning in Jesus' mighty name. So look, church, I said this 2 weeks ago. We hear a lot in the church say about grace and mercy. Grace and mercy, grace and mercy, grace and mercy. Good, except Jesus came full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. Mercy, nowhere in the Bible does it say mercy will set us free. It says that truth will set us free. Is that true? And I think I've been hitting this enough for quite some time that we can all probably attest, as our brother shared this morning, right? We can be legitimately saved on our way to heaven and still live a life far below the standards that's available to us to live as disciples of Christ. Is that all right? And again, I'm not talking about circumstances. Circumstances be what they may, right? I'm talking about what's going on in here. How am I walking through these storms that come at me? How am I handling these things? Am I allowing, as I said before, you know, as long as the boat's in the water, everything's fine. But when the water starts getting in the boat, we're in trouble. Amen. So think about this. As I was reading this a few weeks ago, the Lord just really spoke to me something. He says, think about this. Grace, my definition of grace, which some of you have been around long enough, but I haven't talked about this in a while. Grace. A lot of church talks about the grace covered. Oh, grace covers this, brother. It does not. The Bible says nowhere that grace covers things. Grace is the supernatural power of God living inside of me, enabling to do what I cannot do on my own. Amen. How many think we need some grace? If you study grace in the Bible, that's what you will find. Grace is it's the spirit of grace, Hebrews calls the Holy Spirit. The spirit of grace, the spirit of power, right? It's the Holy Spirit living in me, enabling to do what I cannot do on my own. Yeah? So think about this. I'm reading through this, and it says that Jesus comes full of grace and truth. And the Holy Spirit said to me, son, you can't even start to understand my truth without my grace. Because it's my grace that starts opening your mind to think beyond what you've always thought your whole life. All those strongholds that we've built, I've experienced this, all the trauma we've gone through, we've been betrayed, we've been hurt, we've been abandoned, all these things that we've built in our minds, he says the spirit of grace has to come in and start tearing those things down so that the truth of the word of God can get in and start building good strongholds. Can I get amen? See, the Holy Spirit, my beloved, is called, as I said a moment ago, the Spirit of Truth, which is in John 14, 17, and He's called the Spirit of Grace, which is in Hebrews 10, 29. Holy Spirit's called both of those names. I just want to make a statement here. There are a lot of Christians who have made an initial step of faith, an initial declaration of faith, maybe have even had a legitimate encounter with the Lord, but they have either not been taught to or actively resisted going deeper in their walk with the Lord. Again, there's a lot of churches that don't even teach that. Or there's churches that are teaching that and we dig our heels in. Anybody ever dug your heels in a little bit? Other than me. Anybody ever been a little stiff-necked? Right? Isn't God good that he's so patient? I was praying about this the other day, and it just hit me again. If God wasn't patient, we'd all be dead. Amen. Truth, my beloved, is what we need to get back into the church. We've got so much in our culture now. This is my truth. And you know, the whole thing with COVID a couple years ago, trust the science. What science? Do you know that science, by definition, is supposed to be questioned? You talk to any real scientist, the whole basis, the whole premise of science is we're questioning something. Why does this work this way? Right? So for us to be told, oh, just trust the science. You mean the science is changing literally every 2 weeks? The science that, you look at science about any particular topic. There is gaping holes in science everywhere. I'm grateful. I have good friends that are scientists, PhDs, and they research things, research diseases. Praise God. But science has gaping holes in it that has no explanation of how things work. Can I get amen, church? Yeah? I saw one meme said, trust the science. It says, no, follow the money. Follow the money. You want to know how anything works in the government? Follow the money. Where is it coming from and where is it going? That's where things are going to line up. Yeah? That's true, y'all. Yeah? Think about this. Is the word of God, here's a question we need to ask ourselves. Do I consider the word of God the truth? The truth. Think about how much attack we get on the Bible. Oh, the Bible contradicts itself, brother. No. That's because you're approaching it with your carnal mind, and it looks like it contradicts itself. Every time I've had somebody bring me something that they say, oh, this contradicts it, I've gone and studied that, and I said, no, it doesn't. It doesn't make sense to your brain, but that's because it's not supposed to. Can I get amen? Church, see, if we believe that the Word of God, cover to cover, is the truth. Jesus says what I said a couple weeks ago. If you continue my word, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Can I get amen? Right? So think about this. I'm not talking about, when I talk about adhering to the word of God, here's a great psalm. I think this is a psalm or it's a proverb, but think about this. We probably heard this one. How can a young man keep his way pure? It's a question from the writer. Anybody know the second half of that one? But by keeping it according to your word. How can a young man, young woman, how can a young person keep their way pure but by keeping it in accordance with your word? So that's a promise, church. Pastor, I can't seem to get my life straightened out. Are you in the word of God? Because the Bible says if I'm in it and I'm eating it and I'm digesting it and I'm surrendering to the word of God, that God, it's his job to keep my life on track. Is that good? Yeah. So when I talk about this, church, what I'm not talking about is like flawless living, like we're never going to make a mistake, we're never going to stumble again. I'm not talking about flawless adherence to some kind of a church policy. Because let's face it, most church policies are kind of extra biblical. Is that good? Is that a good way to say that? How about like dress codes? Oh, you're not dressed properly. You can't get on the platform. I don't know. Pretty sure Jesus wore robes and sandals, y'all. Is that all right? And again, I'm not saying that having a dress code is wrong. I'm just saying to put a dress code, what we do is we put our church policies ahead of the word of God. That's not good. Is that all right? So what I want to look at a passage of scripture here that's familiar, but we're going to break it down, and we're going to tie a couple of passages together here, And we're going to take a couple of weeks and look at the armor of God. And it's interesting that John was sharing about darkness and various things. We're going to look a little bit at that today. By the way, guys, 2 weeks from today, Jim Kakuza is going to be with us. So there'll be an event here on Saturday, October 1st in the morning, and then Pastor Jim will be with us on Sunday. That Sunday, we'll be back to 10 a.m. service. So that'll all come out in email. But Ephesians 6, let's look at this. And again, how many people know about this passage, right? The armor of God? Well, raise your hand if you know this one. All right, let's pretend you don't know it. Amen. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in your own striving. Oh. The strength of his might. Is there any limit to how strong God is? None. So should there be any limit to how strong we are? Not if we're doing this right. Amen. Put on the full armor of God. That's a good phrase there. So that you'll be able to stand firm while God moves every obstacle out of your way. Oh, it doesn't say that, does it? So that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Why doesn't God just get all these schemes out of the way? If you ever get that answer, let me know, and you can preach for a good few Sundays about that. Amen. God easily could move the devil out of the way. He could get rid of all the darkness. He could get rid of all the sickness. He could get rid of all the demons. He could get rid of all this stuff. And a day coming, if we read the scriptures, clearly that he will. But right now, he has not. And you know what he's doing, church? He's not just going like, oh, I hope you guys can make it. He's like, I'm calling you to be strong in my strength. Stand against this stuff. Push it back, right? Stand. Shine your light. Push the darkness back. Pastor Elijah, there's so much darkness. Because God is calling you to influence that darkness in your sphere. Yes. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, then you don't like the gospel. Amen. Verse 12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Could preach a long time on that. Come on, church. Every time we're in a struggle, doesn't it feel like it's flesh and blood? Come on. What do we need to do? We need to get in the truth and remind ourselves this is not... I mean, Keith would never be my enemy, but this guy's not my enemy. My boss is not the problem. My neighbor is not the problem. Those kids at school are not the problem. Coworkers are not the problem. Washington, D.C. is not the problem. Democrats aren't the problem. Or Republicans. It's we need to see beyond church. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against, look at what we're fighting, church, rulers. Meaning there are demonic forces with authority. Not all authority. They have a limited amount. And you know, my Bible says all authority comes from God. Pastor, even that authority? Either it's all or it's none. Can I get an amen? We wrestle against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this. Say it, church, come on. Darkness against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, look at Paul saying, therefore, because of this, here's what's going on, church. Because of this, take up the, again, full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with. Oh. Not your truth. Not the school system's truth. not Washington, D.C.'s truth, with the truth. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Why can't God just tell the devil to leave me alone? He can, he won't. What he is trying to get us to do is get strong so that the devil, what he thinks is going to take you out, you have built up your own strength in the power of the Lord, where every weapon that he has formed against you will not prosper. He says, how on earth is that girl still standing? How is that marriage still hanging in there? How are those kids still doing all right? How does they still got some finances? Man, I blew their car up 6 times this year. How's there still some money in the bank? How come they're not crying about it? How come they're still going to church? How come they're still raising their hands? How come they're still praying? How come they're still serving? What they should have quit by now. I will be able to extinguish, my beloved, every fiery dart of the evil one. Shield of faith. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the whole. Come on, church. Pastor, why do I got to read my Bible? Why do I read my Bible? Why do I got to memorize scripture, Pastor? Well, church, I don't know if I was going to go to battle, I'd want a weapon. I don't just want armor. I ain't that good at dodging stuff. I want something I can inflict some pain back on the enemy. Can I get an amen? Amen. And according to Paul, the only weapon in the full armor of God is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Yeah, is that all right? I got a little nugget on that, but that's coming in a couple weeks. So think about this, church. We all have heard this. We all know it. But as I was reading through this a couple weeks back, the Lord brought me into here, and I really felt like the Lord said to me, son, look, this is not just about the full armor of God. It's about a progression of how this armor is supposed to be put on. We've got a brother here who's a firefighter. Correct me if I'm wrong. Don't you got to put all your gear on in a certain order? Or it's not going to protect you in the fire. Is that right? If you don't put it on right, you're going to get in trouble when you're in the fire. Yeah? His job is to run into fires and rescue other people. Can I suggest, my beloved, that that's our job as well? God's saying, look, I'm calling you into hostile territory. Get some armor on so not only do you don't get killed, but you can drag some folks to safety yourself. Is that all right? So if we can kind of wrap our head around this, that this is not only the armor, but it's a progression, then Paul starts out the first thing is that he says we need to gird our loins with truth. Some translations would say put on the belt of truth. But as I was studying this, couple things here. To gird something in the Greek means two things. It means to prepare it for action, and it means to make something such as this is the Greek word. Make something such as clothing or a sword. But say sword. Fast or secure. Fast not meaning like fast, but like it, you know, that something secured properly. Can I get amen? Right? So to gird your loins means to prepare for action or to make sure that everything is in the right place. Any men, or ladies too, I guess men, we always wear belts. You ever get out of your house and forget your belt? My belts don't hold my pants up anymore. But like if you, you get and you go to wash your hands and you're like, oh, I forgot my belt. It feels so weird, man. Like you're just self-conscious all the whole rest of the day. You ain't got a belt on. You ever see somebody not without a belt on? You're like, it just looks like you missed something, bro. The other thing that's interesting in your church is that he says, Paul says to gird your loins. Ever say loins? Loins. And loins is like a funny word to us, but it can mean, you know, kind of your midsection where your belt would give, but it also does reference reproductive organs. And so as I was thinking about this, Paul is saying that we need to secure our areas of reproduction with truth. As I was pondering this, I'm thinking, and the scripture comes to my mind, in Proverbs 18:21, it says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. James tells us a very similar word, that our tongue has got the power to destroy things or the power to bring life. And I'm not suggesting some folks get real weird with that. Oh, Pastor, don't say a negative word. Oh my gosh, man. Then skip the whole book of Proverbs, skip Lamentations, skip half of Jeremiah, skip most of the Psalms. Can I get an amen, church? Look, if you're going through something hard, it doesn't mean that you can't admit that you're going through something hard. That's just ridiculous, right? It's just pseudo-spiritual garbage. Particularly if you're praying about it. Man, pour your heart out to God. But as our brother shared this morning, before I got up here, listen to what he's saying back. You read through David's Psalms where he's complaining to God. He's complaining and he's complaining, he's complaining. But then halfway through, you see a Selah. He's like, okay, I'm going to take a breath and I'm going to listen to God now. And then the Lord speaks back to him and he starts saying, but you're on your throne, God, and you're doing this and you're doing this. Can I get an amen, church, right? There's not, when I'm talking about what's coming out of our mouth, it's not so much as like, oh my God, I got to be super careful with how I speak. Except when I'm speaking to my brother, then you know what? I do need to be careful what I'm saying. I need to be, especially if, not that I have ever had to correct this man, but if I was in a situation where I needed to correct him, I need to be especially careful how I say that. Is that good? Because, church, think about this. I did a video about this not too long ago, and the Lord said this to me years ago, and it just came back to my mind. The Spirit of the Lord said to me years ago, he said, son, you don't understand. You're always sowing something. We think I'm either going to sow to the Spirit or I'm just going to kind of coast and everything's going to be fine. Listen, no. You are sowing to the Spirit, Paul says, or you're sowing to your flesh. One or the other, right? And if I'm sowing to my flesh, Paul says, I'll reap corruption. If I sow to the Spirit, I reap life and peace. Let me clear this up real fast. Spending quality time with your family is sowing to the Spirit. Spending quality personal time, my beloved, is sowing to the Spirit. See, we think, oh my gosh, Pastor, how long, you're talking about I just got to pray for 9 hours a day? No, that's not what I'm saying. You should pray every day, probably more than most of us do. Can I get an amen? We should read our Bibles more than most of us probably do, right? But taking care of myself is sowing to the Spirit. Can I get an amen? Right? Building relationships with folks is sowing to the Spirit. Is this all right? Because here's the bottom line, church. God is calling us to produce something for him. You ever thought about that? We're called to produce things for God. Parable of the seed and the soil. When the seed falls on good soil, what happens? Oh, 30, 60, 100 fold. We are producing something from the word of God that's coming into us. What are we producing? Fruit of the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? Does this make sense? Let's go to John 17. We're going to spend the rest of the morning over in John 17. I want to Hopefully this makes sense to y'all and really clicks. It falls right in line with what John was sharing this morning. John 17, verse 13. Say amen when you're there. Three of you. Praise God. Y'all there? Yes. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world so that they may have joy, my joy made full in themselves. Church, this is Jesus praying to the Father. I'm going to say that one more time. Think about this. What I'm going to read and what we're talking about the rest of the morning, next 20 minutes or so, this is Jesus praying to God. But now I come to you, I, Jesus, come to you, Father, and these things I speak in the world so that they, the world, my disciples, may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them, I is who, church? Jesus. I have given them whose word? The Father, right? Guess what the word for word is right there? It's logos again. We hit that a few weeks ago. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you, who's you? The Father, to take them, who's them? Us, out of the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. Sounds like Paul. Can I get amen? Right? So that you can stand in the evil day. So that you can stand in the evil day. So that you can stand in the evil day. Here's Jesus praying to God. He can pray anything he wants because you know God's going to answer him because he's perfect. There is no issues between Jesus praying and God not listening to him. So Jesus could have said, hey, take him out of the world, man, because that's going to be way better for them. But he's like, I'm not going to ask that. Here's what I'm going to ask. They're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify. Here's what Jesus is praying for us. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word, who's you right here? The Father, right? Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, also, I also have sent them into the world for their sakes. Look at this, church. I caught this as it. Oh, my goodness gracious. Who's speaking in verse 19? Jesus, right? For their sakes, I sanctify myself. Wait a second. You're the Word become flesh and dwelt among us. You're the Son of God without sin, right? You're carrying the sin of mankind without sin. You've never sinned one time ever. What do you mean, Jesus, you sanctified yourself? What did you have to sanctify yourself from? What? Have you ever seen this, church? Anybody ever seen that in this passage of Scripture? I said, oh my goodness gracious. If Jesus, my beloved, had to sanctify himself, I think we probably need to do the same. For their sakes, I sanctify myself that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, meaning the 12, but for those also who believe in me through their word, the apostles, right? So now we know that he's talking to us, right? That they may all be, oh, yes, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us so that the world may believe that you sent me. Wow. So let's tie this together here in the next few moments. Back to Ephesians, Paul says the first piece of armor is, in some translations would call it the belt of truth, but girded our loins with, everybody say truth. 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 So Jesus is here praying to the Father about truth. Right? Verse 15, let's look at these five verses right in the middle of this passage. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Here's the question, church, if you're not connecting the dots yet. How Jesus' prayer, which we know that Jesus is never going to pray anything that doesn't get answered. Is that right? Because he's perfect, so there's no issues there. So Jesus' prayer is keep them from the evil one. But then two verses later, he's actually telling us how that's going to be done. Sanctify them in truth, right? How, my beloved, are we kept away from the evil one? He's talking about Satan, if you're not connecting the dots there. Not a demon, but the demon, right? The king of darkness, the prince of the power of the air, right? He's talking about Satan himself. How can we be kept from Satan? But by being sanctified in truth. Satan is called what? What's another name for Satan? The father of lies. What's the best way to lie? Is to take a truth and twist it just a little bit so it still sounds like the truth. That's the garden. Can I get an amen? Did God say you're really going to die? Question the truth, then twist it just a little. And if we think about it, if we're honest, the last, say, 30 years in our country, including in the church, we have taken truth and it's been twisted a little until we acclimate to it. Okay, well, it's not that bad. And then they, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right? Rulers and principalities and powers of the darkness of this age, they'll take that which is now already twisted, and now we're going to twist it a little bit more. And we all get, oh my gosh, did you see what they're doing now? Oh my goodness gracious. Oh my goodness. But then I guess it's not that bad. As long as they're doing it out there somewhere. And then we tweak it and twist it a little bit more. Until eventually we're standing on our head going like, how on earth did we get here? What on earth is going on? I'm just going to say this. I was playing golf with a friend of mine the other day. He told me, I don't know, I didn't look it up, but I said, come on. Apparently some students at Womogo High School, if you don't know where Womogo is, Warren Morris Goshen, so that's out past Litchfield, there's some students out there that told the school that they are cats, that they're cats. And the school system was forced to bring kitty litter into the bathrooms. I was like, no way. I thought this guy was joking. I was like, no way, bro. He goes, oh, no, that's legit. What? Bro, I have a cat. I've never seen a person that looks like a cat. I don't know. Yikes. What is going on? And we're being told that this is normal. Yikes. That's crazy. Can I get an amen? What we have to understand, my beloved, is voting another politician in is not going to fix that. Amen. Truth is what will fix that. You're made in the image of God. Can I get an amen? God created you. He formed you in your mother's womb. You're not a cat. You're not anything else. You are what God made you to be. Amen. Almost done here, church. It's crazy. Tony, we better buckle up. It's not going to get better out there. Yeah? But we're called to go out there and shine our light. So let me finish up with this. Told you I was going to try to get to why we're calling this the surgeon and the scalpel. Sanctification, church, is the job of the Holy Spirit. If you study at all the Trinity in the Scriptures, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you will clearly see that the Holy Spirit's job is to change us. It's not Jesus' job to change us. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. ever living to make intercession for us. Can I get amen? He is seated at the right hand of the Father, right? He's coming back again. Could be quite soon, depending on how you look at stuff, right? But the Holy Spirit is here. His job is to change us. Sanctification is just a fancy word for change. As we talked about earlier this morning, talked about surrender. We heard about surrender, just surrender, surrender, surrender. These couple of friends I met with this week, and we talked, oh, Pastor, how do I surrender? Like we think we're going to surrender, like this one big surrender event, and then we're just going to walk out of church and be like, ah, oh, just walk on clouds, and we're never going to have a problem again. And I, no. That's, no. That is not how that works. We make that initial surrender, and then it's a surrender, a very regular surrender, because our old mind is still kicking in there. Paul talks about this in Romans 7. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I do. Oh, this, who will deliver me from this life? But he says, praise be to God. And if we read right through the chapter break in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Right? If you just read chapter 7 and stop and then read chapter 8 a week later, I mean the next day, that's what I meant to say, we're going to miss that Paul's continuing the thought process, right? As we battle this thing out, as we wrestle against our old nature because we have a new nature now, as we fight through this stuff and stumble and trip and get up, God's saying, look, God is not condemning you anymore. Jesus paid for that. Condemnation, eternal damnation is what the word means. If you are in Christ, there is no more eternal damnation. There's conviction. Anybody ever feel convicted about something? Anybody ever ignore some conviction? How's that feel? Horrible. Man, does that feel terrible. Is that right? The surgeon and the scalpel. I'll tell you what, church, I think the reason we resist this process so much as Christians is because we think everything, we think it's always going to hurt. It's always going to make me feel bad. God's always going to be putting his finger on something that's wrong in my life. And you know what? There are many, many times when God will put his finger on something in your life and he says, that's enough of that. That's enough. But I can tell you from personal experience, probably many of you could tell me the same thing. There's been many times when the surgeon has taken the scalpel and said, son, I've not called you to live there. I've called you to live here. It's not just about, oh, stop doing that. He says, no, I've called you here. In the book of Revelation, I think it's the third church, it says, to he who overcomes, God will give a new name. A name that only he understands. Church, can I suggest something to you? God wants to give every single one of you a new name. The first name that the Lord gave me was Timothy through the prophet. Timothy, young pastor in the Bible. And then as I was reading, that was from a prophet, but then the Lord's given me three. The other two was from me reading through Joshua one day. And the Lord spoke to me. I was all done. I closed it up. I was in the shower, and I'm just minding my own business, scrubbing my armpits. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, son, I'm calling you to be a Joshua. He says, you will lead this church into the next generation. Bring them to the promised land. A church, boom, man, I wept, cried. Because you know what we see? We see who we were and how we're unqualified and disqualified and I failed and I've done this wrong and I've done that wrong. And then several years later, I was reading through the story of Gideon. And I'm reading just two chapters long. It's a really fast story. But I'm reading through Gideon. I closed it up and I'm going an hour later and I was just thinking about what I'd read. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. He said, son, you are Gideon. You are Gideon. Gideon took down the Midianites. You know what the Midianites did? If you read that story, the Midianites would leave them alone until it was just about time to reap the harvest. They could plow, they could plant, They could water. They could chase little bunny rabbits away. They could do whatever they want. The Midianites showed up on a schedule. They knew when it was just about time for a breakthrough. And the Midianites would show up and destroy everything and then have to rebuild. And it was like, oh my gosh, I said, that sounds like River Valley. Every time. I've been here a long time, church. Every time we're just about to hit this breakthrough, it's like all of a sudden somebody gets offended, something happens, somebody gets mad. You know what? I'm like, every time. And I was like, the Lord saying to me, there's a Midianite spirit coming against this church. He says, but I've called you to be a Gideon. You're going to take it down. You know what Gideon had to do the first thing? He had to take down the Asherah pole because all of the other Israelites had built an idol pole and were worshiping idols, which is what gave Midian the power. So I said, Lord, what are you telling me? He says, well, you're going to take down the Asherah pole in this church. Y'all been worshiping things that you should not be worshiping. Yikes. Yikes. You know where he starts? He starts right here, church. So when I come at you, it's because he's been dealing with me. Amen. Does this make sense? The Spirit of God, my beloved. Let's stand to our feet. The Spirit of God, through the Word of God, will work in your soul to take things that the enemy has found access to, things that the enemy has used to make you fearful, to make you angry, to make you hurt, to make you react a certain way. And the Holy Spirit's job is to get in there and start working on that stuff and bring healing to it and bring freedom. So the enemy comes back and tries to get in that same open window, tries to find that same crack in your foundation, tries to find that same avenue in, and you say, man, you can't get in there anymore. That ain't gonna work anymore in my life. Does that make sense, church? Let's pray. Lord, we come this morning and we humble our hearts before you. Even as we heard our brother up here this morning talking about a child that's making poor decisions, all I kept hearing, I just kept literally in my heart, I kept hearing so many of us here saying, yeah, but you know, look what my kids are doing. And it's like, we feel like it's our responsibility to fix what our kids are doing. And I kept hearing the Holy Spirit saying, son, no, you can't fix you. Why do you think you can fix them? Our job is to surrender our kids to God. And that be the father or the mother that you called us to be. No matter what those kids are doing. Truth. Our job as parents is to speak truth over our children. Paul says to speak, that we're to speak the truth in love. And yet we're so, again, as I'm sitting here listening this morning as John was speaking, I just kept hearing the Lord say, it's just another form of this performance mindset. I'm going to raise my kids and then I'm going to show God how good my kids are. Oh God, look how good I did with my kids. Like we're going to earn a merit badge or something. The Lord says, no, nope. It's not what it's about. I can't control my kids any more than I control anybody else. So Lord, in Jesus' name, we just come. Help us understand the only person that we're responsible for is the one we see in the mirror. The only person that I can partner with the Holy Spirit and sanctify is myself. I cannot sanctify another human being. I don't have the power to do so. But Lord, as you work in our hearts and you change us and we as Paul says, become strong in you and the power of your might, God. You will give us spheres of influence where we can help other people. Say, man, look, I can't change you, bro, but I can point you in the right direction. I can tell you how to fix that situation. I can show you where to go. I can show you in the Word of God where to study and read and pray over. I can show you how to fix your marriage. I can show you how to fix your situation with your kids. I can show you how to fix that financial situation. I can show you how to do it because I have walked through that sanctification. I've walked through that area. I've closed the door that the devil kept sneaking in. Father, you want us to abound in grace. You want us to be, as you said in your prayer, Jesus, full of your joy. But that joy comes as we submit to the process of sanctification. So Holy Ghost, help us to trust you. When you put your finger on something, help us say, yes, take it, Lord. Take it. Show me how to fix it. Because God, you will. So Father, we thank you right now. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And church, let's just take a few more moments here. If you're around Rachel back there, can you lay some hands on her? Amen. A couple people back there. Let's just lay hands on her. We're going to pray. Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you. Number one, that your daughter is cancer-free. Praise God. Cancer-free. Praise God. Cancer-free. Cancer-free. And I hope this is okay, Rachel. She did say that the doctors have said that they need to test what they took out to say, oh, maybe this is the recurring form. It's going to come back. I bind that right now in the name of Jesus. You will not, cancer, you will not come back. You will not come back in the name of Jesus. Father, I decree and declare, we agree, Father. Look, Scripture says two or three, if we agree touching any one thing, it shall be done. We agree right now, Father, that she is healthy and whole right now in the name of Jesus. Father, this lingering issue from the prior procedure, we speak life into your body right now, Rachel. Life into your body. Life into your body by the blood of Jesus. Life, life, life right now in Jesus' mighty name. God, we curse. Just like Jesus, you cursed that fig tree and it died. We curse this cancer right now and command you to wither up and die. You will not come back. You will not come back. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, oh God. Thank you, God, for healing this mighty woman of God. Thank you, God. Lord, we're asking, as Rachel's walked through this fire, Peter says that fire that purifies gold, the same thing will purify our faith. Fire. Lord, thank you that this woman of God is going to come out of this stronger than she went in. Not shaken, but strengthened. In the name of Jesus. Just keep praying for her. We're going to pray for John as well. Father, we lift John Muldoon to you right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for raising this man of God up out of that sick bed, Lord. And as I prayed over him a few days ago, I just came to my mind that, Lord, you formed us in our mother's womb. Lord, literally, God, you literally built John's heart. You literally did that. It's not a metaphor, God. You literally built his heart. with your hands, God, in his mother's womb. And so, God, we speak over his heart and we speak strength and health to it right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we bind arrhythmia, we bind any type of calcium buildup, any type of muscular issue, neurological issues, God, in the name of Jesus, God, that we speak full health and restoration to John's heart right now, oh God. Lord, we thank you. We decree, Father, decades, Father, of healthy heart functioning in his body right now, Father. Lord, we thank you that he is going to recover quickly, God, that you will raise him up, strengthening his body, Father. We bind the pain in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your spirit, God, just soothe his body. Fill him right now, Father, as he's laying in that bed, God. Fill him with your spirit, God. Lord, just anoint him. Fill his room with your presence, God. And raise this man up. And again, both of these situations, when the doctor's going to say, well, sir, maybe David... You know, when the doctors tell me that kind of stuff, I say, thank you, doctor. He's just doing his job. Thank you, doc. I didn't receive that. So God, thank you for filling John. Thank you for filling Rachel with confidence in who you are, God, in the truth of your word. In Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Amen. Let's clap our hands and bless the Lord. Amen, amen. Guys, have a good week. Facebook and YouTube, blessings. We'll be here on Wednesday for prayer, 7 o'clock. Everybody is welcome to come. And again, if you're in Wani and Leon's group, you're going that direction. And everybody else kind of head this way onto the main lobby. So guys, have an awesome week. In Jesus' name.